Welcome, everybody, to Pep Talks. I'm Eddie Pepitone. My co-host Steve Lally is back from Florida. This is our first show since the holidays. We took about 3 weeks off. Is that correct, Steve?
Man, it felt good.
It felt good to not have to do this. Can I tell you that? YouTube listeners and SoundCloud listeners, you don't know how good it felt not to have to do a podcast. But now we're back, and we're going to try to give these folks a good one. And Stevie is back from Florida, and give us the update. You were gone 3 weeks. I stayed in L.A. I love to stay in L.A. during the holidays.
Why do you like that? What's good about that?
Everybody like you leaves. Everybody leaves L.A. during the holidays, and I'm just like walking around going, thank God it's not as crowded. You know, it's really great. Like, you know, when I walk my dogs across the street to get into the park, it's usually cars zipping by me. I got these little dogs. Not to brag, you can have what I have if you smoke pot from the ages of 14 to 42, when you're supposed to be really working hard on your career, you can have what I have. So when I'm walking these two little guys, my two little
bundles of love,
they're so fucking loving. It's incredible. Me and my wife going across this road, it's dangerous. But when the holidays hit, we're like just walking across the road like we're in an English field, like we're in the Cotswolds. So yeah, that's why I like it, because it's so less
crowded. How many weeks do you have? Like how many?
It's about I would say it's a good sort of like 10 days like that. People start trickling back, right? You know, and then every asshole is back around when you came back.
Thanks,
they
Eddie.
They all no I mean no you know Whatever. I'm not trying to say you're an asshole. I'm just trying to say that they all kind of had your timeline.
It's funny, now that you have those sunglasses, you have a whole other like feel to you with those sunglasses.
Oh, I didn't even know I was wearing them.
It's cool, man. Like, it's cool. It's not like you're going against the grain, because it's not a time in American culture to be cool. It's a time
it
to be,
isn't?
No, it's a time to be nerdy. This is the era of the nerd, and you're going against that.
Is it still the era of the piece of shit nerd?
Yeah. Yep.
Well, I feel like one of those poker players, you know, one of those idiot poker players who like just have like you know, have they have their hat on backwards and they're like, I'll take a hit, you know, and it's just bullshit, you know, like just the cards that they televise. Card games is hilarious, isn't it? Like,
it's a sign televising of the desperation of the population, that they're so desperate for entertainment.
You know what would be funny? If they televise Go Fish, people playing Go Fish.
Or like Rummy tournament.
Yeah, just shitty. Well, Go Fish would be even funnier, because that's just some shitty little card game.
What about Mahjong? If they had like a Mahjong.
Well, you tell me. Well, my mom used to play Mahjong. I never understood it.
Jewish mom.
My Jewish mom would play Mahjong.
Mom never played Mahjong.
Do you know how it's played?
I don't. I know it's an Asian game that Jewish women play. I know it's...
Jewish men do not play it?
I don't think so. I don't think so. It's like... I don't know why. I've never played.
Anyway, we're kind of deflecting here. I think Steve, you know, look, we have been talking a long time about Steve not having any sex for a full year because of the accident. But Steve, I believe you have some news on that front.
Thank you, Eddie. I got laid.
You got laid
over the holidays. I had to leave the state and go across the continent to get laid.
What is it about that? Why sometimes is it easier to find a partner when you're away from home? What is that about?
I wish I had an answer for that. That would satisfactorily. I think that by the grace of God, this really attractive woman found me on Facebook. She talked to me for a week and called me up and had a couple conversations. And she said, "When you
hold on, could you say this slower and then faster?"
And then she wanted to fuck me, and that was it. And then I came to town.
You came to town.
Blew into town. Yeah,
that sounds like an old Western. Well, I got to be riding in Florida, old Bart. I got to have sexual intercourse. I haven't had it in a year since I fell off this horse.
Well, dude, I hurt myself having sex. I was going to ask you,
it's been so long.
Yeah,
right. Well, were you a little like, you're out of shape there. I mean, not shape physical, but you're out of practice.
I was the Yu Darvish of sexual intercourse.
Hold it.
Who's Yu Darvish again? He's the Cubs pitcher who forgot how to throw. Like I first time I almost forgot. Like I was like, I didn't know what to do. Mm. I mean, I knew what to do, but I was like, whoa, I can't believe this is happening again. I didn't think it would happen again. Mm-hmm. And then the next time was good. The next time was like, there was a next time. The fact that there was a next time is also like by the grace of kindness of God that there was a second time, because the first time was unspectacular.
Well, yeah, because you were out of practice.
But I hurt myself the second time.
What did you hurt?
Everything in my body. Dude, I went to physical therapy this morning from the accident, because I'm still in, and they did something to me that made me feel better, but my body, my shoulder, I mean, I fucked like I was 16, and I forgot I'm 40, and I really hurt myself, dude. Like, I was fucked up, my legs, my hamstrings, everything.
Since the accident, have you been working out in a gym?
Yeah.
Okay, so you should be in pretty good shape. You look like you're in pretty good
shape. Those are different muscles, though, that you're, when you're holding yourself up like a yoga position, you know, for hours on end. And I mean, I don't want to go into graphic detail, but I was hurt.
Right.
I was hurt. Like, I felt the pain of the NFL playoffs before the playoffs began, you know.
So spiritually, was it good for you to connect with another human being at that intimate level? Or was this not spiritual at all? Was this just great physical pleasure?
Yeah, it was meant to be spiritual. I was supposed to connect with this person spiritually, and it wasn't for the sex, I think, afterward. It was like the person, like she was looking for somebody to connect with and befriend, and you know, I can't never have sex with a woman without getting soul tied to her. I've never had that, rarely had that experience where I don't bond with, first of all, I'm so grateful that some woman had sex with me to begin with. I mean, this,
well,
the
yeah,
level
I mean,
of
you,
gratitude.
Did you tell her you had been in an accident?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. Mm. I told her it had been over a year. I had to tell her something because that first time.
Because the federal government, before I have sex with my wife, the federal government makes me read something to her. You know, I legally have to read to her, you know.
Does she sign?
No, I have to legally read to her, you know, that this may
disclaimer.
Not be it, that this, my disclaimer is, the sex you're about to have with Mr. Pepitone will probably be unsatisfactory. Mr. Pepitone.
Surgeon General's warning.
I just have to read it legally. I'm legally bonded to reading this, and it's like, Mr. Pepitone is a self-absorbed narcissist. whose sexual prowess is limited extensively
to watching other people do it,
you know, that kind of thing, and it gets me off legal, you know. Yeah. It's saved me suits, all kinds of lawsuits, you know, being sued for not being, you know, a great partner.
Yeah, I did explain to her. I did tell her a few times that I had been in an accident. And
by the way, that sounds, and this is why I like saying that, is because it sounds so soap opera-y. Like, you know, you're just about to make love and you just turn to, you know, your partner and you go, by the way, I've been in an accident.
That's exactly what happened.
Oh,
I said, I should
God.
Let you know I haven't had sex
because,
in over a year.
Because if someone said that to me and I'm about to make love to them, sweet, sweet love. You know, incredible, sweet love, but I have to read the disclaimer that it may not be up to snuff. That if someone said to me, by the way, I've been in an accident, I'd be like, whoa, 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 let's stop it right here. That isn't the thing you want to hear right before being, you know, being fondled, penetrated, loved, you know?
By the way, it's a good sign when your partner reacts like, really? Like, they're surprised you haven't had sex in over a year. That's a good sign that they're shocked. Or
but
they
you
think
got it out in the open. It must have really been on your mind if you, like, spoke about it.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't have spoke about it. I wouldn't have said anything about it. You know, I would have seen, and if it went really bad, I would have said, well, you know, that was my first.
No,
I think if it went really good, you can say, I just want you to know this is the first time I had sex. Since.
But you can't premeditate how all those.
So it first time I had sex since Kennedy was assassinated. John
since
F. Kennedy.
Nixon was in office.
By the way, I'm sure that happened to people back then in the 60s. Kennedy gets assassinated.
And they couldn't have sex for.
That was the death of America's innocence. And the last. Oh, no. I guess Clinton was kind of a horny guy.
Yeah.
But JFK was like the last. People say the last president who could get an erection. I don't know. The last sexy. President. Well, Trump is pretty sexy. Anyway.
I just want to let you go on this, man. Just this is a good rabbit hole to go down.
Welcome to Donald Trump is pretty sexy podcast. I am Fredo Crastinito.
And I am Serge. His sidekick. My friends call me Serge.
Before we talk about Donald's latest conquest.
Donald has beautiful hair. He's a man's man. Yeah.
But good. So, how do you feel now? Like, so now you've had sexual intimacy. You've had intimacy.
Yeah.
And do you feel like you're ready now for, I don't know, a real relationship? I mean, I know you have two draft picks in the first round.
I gave up two draft picks to get laid. Yeah. I don't know, dude.
You're just going to take it.
I mean, I got to take it one day at a time, but mm-hmm. It'd be nice to be with, like, this is what would be really great. Mm-hmm. To be with a woman who you really like and mm-hmm. who really likes you, you know, and to be with her all the time. I mean, someone who lives across the country. And, you know, it's not going to be, but it'd be nice to be with somebody who's not an actress or a model. You know, not a crazy fucking, not another comic, you know, somebody who's like stable, mm-hmm. you know, who wants me to be the crazy person, you know, when I'm projecting my fantasy mm-hmm. perfect woman or whatever, mm-hmm. that's kind of what I'm thinking.
I feel like we could say all those things, what we want or whatever, but I feel like, you know, it's not up to us at all. And that's kind of a lesson you're always learning, is that what happens in life, it really isn't up to us. You know, it's like John Lennon's line, life is what happens to you.
When you're making plans.
While you're busy making other plans. It's like, you know, love just comes in many guises, most of the times out of a cake.
But casual sex is over. I think casual sex is like, I'm not supposed to be, I get the feeling like I'm not supposed to be having casual sex because of these women, as I get older, they don't respond to me like that was just great. Fuck. They want to know me and be in my life and stuff. And, you know, and then I feel bad because I'm like, that was not supposed to just be a casual thing. That was supposed to be like, I went over to her house and hung a mezuzah. She's Jewish, the girl. Uh-huh. And I went over to her house and hung a mezuzah.
And then you hung something else.
Mezuzah was hung after the other hanging.
The old traditional hanging of the.
The mezuzah was the second thing hung.
Oh my God. Would you mind hanging my whoa.
I was asked to do that. I had to look up the prayer and everything. And
oh, you never hung a mezuzah?
I've done it, but I'm not frequently enough.
We always had people come in and hang our mezuzahs. Frank's mezuzah hanging service in Brooklyn when I was in Brooklyn with my Jewish mom.
That's the best.
Frank's mezuzah hanging. And the ads were great. It's like, do you have a mezuzah? Do you not know how to hang it? We're open 24 hours a day. Frank's hanging mezuzah service. I'll be at your place, or one of my minions will be at your place to hang a mezuzah for you. And we guarantee that thing will be hung and protect your domicile. Frank's hanging mezuzah. Call us.
It's too bad they're not still around. Because if they are they still around?
No,
because if they were,
Frank
we could.
Died.
They would be a great mm-hmm. sponsor for our.
Yeah,
but So I was supposed to know.
Frank
the girl,
was killed
you know.
By an ex-wife. His business, was passed to his son, who was a methadone addict. Anyway, it was a horrible story. But so yeah, go ahead. Did you want to finish up with?
Not now.
Well, I'm just talking about Frank, but I mean, you know, do you want to finish up your, I mean.
Yeah, man.
So, I mean,
my
it's kind of.
Stuff.
Your what?
My serious stuff about the girl. I just,
yeah, well, you're saying that there's no such thing as casual sex once you have a certain level of consciousness, right?
Right.
And compassion and depth, you know.
I wish, but I miss it.
You know, and you don't do drugs and alcohol, which is the father or mother of, you know, the casual sex. You know, that's what people are like,
no wonder,
lit up.
Right?
And
because I never drank or did any drugs. So, I mean, I never really got laid as much as I probably could have if I'd found a codependent, you know.
You never did any drugs?
Because I can't have a tolerance, dude. I can't drink.
You never smoked weed?
I did. I've smoked weed. I've done drugs. But I never craved it or went out or tried to use it to get pussy. You know, I never, like, guys I know in college who would just have MDMA or ecstasy or acid.
It's called Molly now.
Oh, is it called Molly now?
Yeah, I love saying
that. Why do they change names of drugs like
that? I love being at the Comedy Store because I don't do any of that shit. And I never did ecstasy or Molly now. But at the Comedy Store, sometimes I'll go, I'm on Molly. Like, I'll just yell
stage,
it. Yeah, I'll scream it to the audience. I'm on Molly.
Does she know?
And I love you. I want to rub. I want to rub against people. You know, that shit, you know, it's like drugs are so fucking alluring and addictive because they give you that. It's so good you never got into them, I think.
Well, I did split and Molly, whatever you want to call it. I did split a half a pill with Mitch Hedberg when I was opening up for him. We split it because the other comic.
And how was it?
It was the only good set I had of the whole week.
Now, I got to tell you, it's good of you not to have done it for every other set because that's what you are like. It's like, oh, well, I had a great set on that.
No, dude.
Let me do it again.
I can't.
But you knew not
to.
No,
my constitution can't take it. I can't.
What happened?
I can't function.
Yeah. I came up. You know, there was this waiter. I used to wait tables in New York, and there was this waiter who was doing Molly constantly. And his brain was fucking mush. It was mush, you know?
What makes me think of Ron Jeremy with the sex, because I've met him.
Oh.
And he's not, there's nothing, no one there, man.
No one's
there's
there.
There's no one there. And so I thought.
That must be a lot of drugs at Jeremy.
I don't know. I wonder if it's all the sex. If it's all, I'm wondering if it's all the sex. Like I'm thinking.
Well,
like,
the dehumanization of porn. I mean, you know, porn. The fact that everybody now, you know, has porn at their fingertips with the internet and all the porn addicts, and I especially think men. There's so many male porn addicts. You know.
Well, it's so depressing, dude.
It's
if you really
so
think
depressing.
About how depressing it is.
Yeah. It's so depressing. It's so depressing, and the macho shit is like, "Oh yeah, I watch porn. I love porn." It's like, no, man. It's, you know, it's such.
It's a sad, low level of function. I mean, you have to watch my whole sex life is relegated to watching other people do it for over a year. That was my whole sex life.
You were watching porn,
of course. I mean, not all the time, but. Occasionally,
you said,
of course,
like, yeah. But I mean, why I said that is like, you know, you're talking about Ron Jeremy not being home anymore. And it's like the dehumanization.
Yeah.
You know, and it's also the dehumanization that porn, and also porn is about, I think porn is a reflection of like the militarism, the military industrial prison complex, and like domination. It's all about domination and submission. It's all about power and control and, you know, all those fantasies, living out all those fantasies. You know?
They
and
used to say music is a sign of the times, but I think pornography is a sign of the times.
It's a good point. What? Yeah, me and you, well, I, you know, I'm older than you and I don't know what anybody's listening to. I don't even care. Like, I hear the word, I hear Bruno Mars, and I'm like, not interested. Justin Timberlake, not interested.
Justin Timberlake is like, the last 20 years of popular music.
Hip hop can be some hip hop. No, we were talking about, because you say you have a great line about counterculture.
Right.
What is it?
There
Mickey
is
Mouse,
no counterculture.
Oprah.
Yeah.
what is that whole line?
A generation had their soul fucked in the ass by Oprah Winfrey holding Mickey Mouse's dick. that was a generation of people who had no culture. They just had no counterculture. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, the music that they listen to sounds like a...
Now, the seeds are so there for a counterculture now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we just had the orange imbecile, whatever you want to call
right.
him. The Trump give a speech last night, which...
Did you even listen to it?
I did. Because I watched BBC, I was watching BBC News, and it sucks too. It's corporate bullshit.
Well, it's good you listen to it because I didn't, so you can at least.
Yeah, I mean, Trump is going, we need to build a wall because, I can't do his voice. We need to build a wall because immigrants, just last week, an immigrant killed somebody with a hammer. He was saying shit like that, you know? So what I'm saying is that, you know, there's seeds now for incredible revolt, man. I think we are going to see, definitely in your lifetime, we are going to see some heavy...
Corporatism has such a stranglehold on the arts that counterculture getting through is so much more unlikely than in the 60s and 70s when they were individuals that owned studios and networks and ran studios. Now it's like... It's corporatism. It's these giant monopolies that own our media. Mm-hmm. So it's gotta the counterculture is gonna have to come from some other.
It's fucking man. America has become a land of people living. You know, half of the population. I read. You know, there's so many people living in their fucking cars.
I know. And poverty, by the way, I took my first Lyft. I wanted to tell you this from the airport. Mm-hmm. I finally broke down and I got the app. And the guy picked me up and he was 28 to 32. Mm-hmm. And he had a weird...
In Florida?
No, here. Coming back from L.A. to Culver City.
Right.
He had a weird name, like definitely Middle Eastern or some... I couldn't quite put my name on it. He was a brown guy, a brown millennial.
Right.
And he picked me up and he was very nice, but he decided to take me through La Cienega, through like near Inglewood. And we're driving through Inglewood and there's a black guy in a wheelchair and this fucking whatever he was saw. I don't know where his parents were from. He was totally American. But he drove this brand new car and he was real well groomed, nice clothes. And he pointed to the black guy in the wheelchair with a cup. Waiting.
What did he say?
He said, look, you see this? It's getting worse everywhere. You see this guy? And I went,
hold it. That's like, a true statement.
Yeah, but then it is a true statement. Mm-hmm. And I was about to agree with the guy. But then he goes, look at this guy. He could work.
Oh, you see that?
He could work. And I went, and this is a young brown guy. Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying the fascism isn't just relegated to white middle-aged men.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Absolutely.
It's not relegated to gender or men.
Well, people are scared because a guy like that, he's driving the Lyft, right? He's driving, you know, he's an Uber driver, Lyft driver, whatever. And he sees that guy. And
it scares the shit out of him.
Yeah.
But
it scares the shit out of me because he's close to being that guy.
No, he's not. Well, that guy was inherited.
Money-wise.
No, that guy inherited it. This guy wasn't
driving. Why is he driving around?
Because he didn't have another job. I mean, guy didn't earn the... I didn't get the feeling this guy earned the clothes and the car he was driving by driving for Lyft.
Let's hold that thought. Okay. We have a lot of ads. We have a lot of phone calls. Let's go to a phone call first. And by the way, thanks everybody for leaving a message recently. Our number, if you want to leave a message to the podcast, is 424-262-0904. 424-262-0904. It's funny that I'm wearing these glasses and not taking them off. All right, so let's go to a couple of calls. And here we go. It's from...
Hi, Eddie. My name is Angela, and I'm calling from Richmond.
What the hell goes on with this shit? Hold on. We had it working. This is the ATC
time.
Studios, by the way. The crack staff here at ATC.
Hi, Eddie. My name is Angela, and I'm calling from Richmond, Virginia. I just wanted to let you know that your podcast brings me a lot of joy during the day. I listen to it when I'm walking on my breaks at work, and I love seeing your specials, period. I'm hoping you'll make it down south when you can. I adore you. I think you're hilarious, and you bring me lots of happiness. Take care. And I don't understand why you have all this self-loathing. I just don't get it. You should practice self-care and love yourself. Bye.
Oh, what a sweet message. Angela, thank you so much from Richmond, Virginia. And can you idiots out there take a note from Angela? She fucking loves me. Do you? Just express love. No, you could do whatever you want. But you know what was interesting? And thanks, Angela, so much for that. But like at the end saying, I don't understand your self-loathing. Just practice self-care. And, you know, it's interesting. It's interesting because, you know, I've kind of come to the conclusion that my self-loathing is post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. You know, just like carrying shit from my childhood. You know, what's your feeling about PTSD?
I don't.
Do you have? Do you don't suffer?
No,
from
but
that
I.
Stuff.
But I see her, you sometimes the way she sees you. Like, why does this guy? This guy's amazing. Why does he? What's wrong with it? You? What's wrong with you that you? You know, it has to go back to your dad or your childhood or something. That because it's you kind of have an amazing. You know, you remind me of Bukowski a little bit. He had a hard life, but he always said, God put a good shield over me.
He put
a good shield over
was
me.
Was Bukowski
He was tormented.
Spiritual?
Yeah, he was totally tormented.
Well, he was out. He really got into alcohol, right? I mean,
he was an alcoholic, but it's not that part of Bukowski. It's the part where Bukowski talks about, you know, if you listen to Bukowski talk about Born Into This, it reminds me of you. Born Into This, you know, the poem that he does when he speaks it. Anyway, but he also had that really hard beat down, and he didn't hate himself, I guess. He didn't carry that around. And I'm just like, you kind of have the gifts that he had. Your talent is what I mean. So I'm like, wow, dude, you know, not everybody has that. There's people walking around they're just trying to tell fucking fart jokes, man. You know, and you got this ability to create an hour and not remember the jokes you told. I mean, you got to like think of, that's a huge gift that you've been given, you know? So anyway, I relate to her.
Thank you, Angela. And now here's another message. Here we go.
Hi, this is Tom from Bloomington. Eddie, why is it some people will sit in their Chevy Blazer at Jack in the Box, and they've got Eddie Bauer upholstery, and they scroll down to a story, and the story says, emotionally depleted white man who went to a gun show completely flies off the handle and loses all sense of proportion. And they'll say, that's what I want to do. Maybe then Caitlin at the next cubicle with the V-neck blouse will take me seriously. I want to go do that right now. That's who I want to be. Thanks, Eddie. Love your show. And I hope you have a peaceful day.
Oh, that's cool. Whoa, that's Tom from Bloomington.
Dude, I have a whole different image of Eddie Bauer now. I never knew that's what that meant. Apparently, Eddie Bauer, you know that?
Yeah, a clothing.
I had no idea that was associated with crazy alpha psychosexual.
Yeah. Well, you know, Tom is just bringing up the point that, I mean, we're talking about it right now, you know, about the disenfranchisement of people, you know, in this country because of corporations splitting cities all over the, all over the country, you know, especially the middle of the country, right? The coasts seem to, you know, have their own industries, but there's a lot of people who are so disenfranchised. What did I read? And so there, you know, I mean, that was funny the way Tom put it. You know, the guy is like, the guy's in a Chevy Blazer with the Eddie Bauer upholstery. And he, you know, was thinking, well, maybe if I kill a few people, the girl in the next cubicle. I mean, that's so about the despair of people who aren't connected to anything bigger than themselves, right?
Man, that's deeply sick. Deeply, to even imagine. I don't even want to think. I mean, try not to think about that, but Yeah, keeping up with the Joneses, like trying to keep up, thinking something that you have or do like that will make somebody
Jack in the Box too, man. Oh my God. Whenever I pass a Jack in the Box, I mean, first of all, you know, I watch sports, so I see, I try to watch sports on, like, have it taped so I don't have to watch the fucking.
You just fast forward through all the.
Yeah, well, fast forward. But I see this Jack in the Box shit commercials. They are so bad. They are so bad. And their food is even worse. I mean, it's just.
One level above dog food.
It is. And some people buy it because they have their own fucking money, you know, and then some people buy it because they think it's tasty or whatever, which, oh my God. So, yeah, thanks for those calls. We have a couple more calls. We'll do them a little.
There's a couple good calls today.
Yeah, well, we got a couple more to go as well. So where were we? Uber drivers?
Yeah, the fascist Uber driver. Lyft driver.
Well, it's sort of like, you know, the way society is set up too, you know, is like it's all about, you know, in capitalism, the end days of capitalism that we're in. Enjoy the last few days of it.
But blaming the poor, you know, maybe you could give me
some. Well, that's what Trump is doing with the immigrants. You know, he's blaming the immigrants. And Lee Camp, who is great. If you ever get a chance to follow Lee Camp on Twitter, do it. And Lee Camp has a show called Redacted. And Lee says, yeah, let's blame the fucking, let's blame the immigrants, you know, because, you know, we don't want to tell you that it's really
right.
The 1% who's taking your fucking jobs. You know, the 1% gets bailed out by banks, trillions, and they do stock buybacks instead of putting money, you know, into the country, you know, and they take their corporations.
Right. They behave incestuously with their wealth mm-hmm. instead of creating mm-hmm. jobs, which is the fiction that we've been sold right. by conservative yeah. politicians.
Or Amazon, which is one of the biggest employers. They fucking, you know, have warehouses full of people just wrapping packages. I guess the money, minimum wage is a big fight across the country, right? Trying to get it to $15. Have you been keeping up on
that? Yeah, I think that Amazon did.
Yeah.
Bernie Sanders came out with a bill he called the Bezos bill. And mm-hmm. before the bill could get any traction, mm-hmm. Bezos just came out and said, we're going to pay everybody $15 an hour at Amazon
right.
just to make that go away. So it's mm-hmm. amazing what you can do with bad publicity for corporations. Mm-hmm. Corporations don't want bad publicity.
Let's see. Also, if you guys ever get a chance, you should check out democracynow.org, great alternative news source. Like, for instance, their top stories were today, a racist xenophobic attack. Immigrant rights activist decries Trump remarks about southern border. And then a Bernie Sanders story. Bernie Sanders responds to Trump's border wall address debunking president's lies about immigration. And then longtime reporter leaves NBC saying media is Trump circus that encourages perpetual war. Did you hear about that guy?
Oh, wow. I love
who
that.
Who left?
Interesting.
I forget. It might be William Arkin. And William Arkin on Homeland Security's Creeping Fascism and Why the CIA and FBI Won't Save Us from Trump. So these are good, you know, democracynow.org with Amy Goodman is
it's fun.
Good.
It's interesting how there's a power structure and one side thinks that one's going to save them from the other. The Trumpers think that he's going to save them from the intelligence community. And then and the blue team fuckers think that the intelligence community is going to save them from the
right.
these fascists, you know, it's like right. like they care about us at all. You know?
Wanted to read you a couple of things from Lee Camp that he tweeted that I retweeted. Not to brag, I'm a retweeter. He said, the French are protesting tax breaks for the rich and growing wealth inequality by marching and rioting. It is working. Americans are being asked to protest by voting for the other corporate party, the blue one. That hasn't worked for a long time.
Yeah.
Another tweet from him. It's not a refugee's fault, from Lee Camp. It's not a refugee's fault that you don't have a living wage. It's not women. It's not POC. And it's not immigrants. It's the capitalists who Trump enriches on a daily basis, the 1% who love it when we spend energy hating immigrants instead of them. So Lee kind of nails it.
Yeah.
You know? All right. So we're in a great... We're at the end of the American Empire. Welcome to Pep Talks. We're at the end of the American Empire, but we still have to live, right? And we still have to find joy. We still have to...
Try to find peace.
We have to find peace. We have to find joy within this. And it may... The only way to do that, I know this is going to sound paradoxical, is to revolt. We need to revolt. We need to revolt as a people. And what's really depressing is that I feel like... You know, the Trumpers or people who are so disenfranchised, they're kind of fascist, or not kind of, they are.
Yeah.
And so how do we unite with them? How do we get them to see? Well, they know they're getting screwed over, which is why they're so angry, but they it out on them.
But it's like there's a fucking, you know, what is that, an hourglass with the sand? And you're kind of waiting for the Trumper to figure out, like, are you like a doctor ruling out illnesses? When are you going to figure out it's not the fucking mm-hmm. poor mm-hmm. and the women and the, it's not Hollywood that's, you know, out to get you. It's actually the consolidation of wealth and stripping equity, mm-hmm. stripping corporations, stripping equity from you, and you're living in debt and you're piling up debt to keep up with your neighbor. Cause that's what America's
doing. Or you're living in your car. You're living in your car.
Or you've given up on the debt fight and you're living in a camper on Venice Boulevard. Because mm-hmm. look, go down Venice Boulevard, dude.
Wow,
there's campers. Those aren't mm-hmm. those aren't homeless people from under the freeway. Those are people who used to have an apartment.
See, that's what's so scary. And welcome to Pep Talks. I hope you're getting an uplifting. You know, me and Steve are comedians, and I hope you're laughing at our demise. But one of the ways we do get joy is reading a novel. Are you a reader?
I love it.
So we have a segment of the show where we read from any novel. And this one is called The Silence of the Sea. It's a thriller.
Really?
Yeah. And her name, the author's name is Yrsa. It's really a tough name. She's Icelandic. Yrsa Sigurðardóttir. And I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that. But so what we'd like to do is read a little bit from a book and then discuss it. So this is called The Silence of the Sea, and we just randomly pick a page. So here we go. As if that alone would be enough to clinch the matter. No, I didn't really mean it. Perhaps he was simply reluctant to meet the captain. Their telephone conversation the previous day had gotten off to a bad start when Iger had reacted with consternation to the news that the cost of moving the yacht to Iceland threatened to be much higher than expected. The arrangements were his responsibility. He didn't want to go back to his boss with the information that they would have to hire a local to replace the missing crew member, which would work out to be far more expensive. He had lost his temper when he heard what level of pay the possible replacements were demanding, but the captain had given as good as he got, and Iger had been forced to accept that people were not exactly queuing up to take a short trip north to the ass end of nowhere. At what point in the conversation he had suggested making up the shortfall himself, he couldn't remember, but he hadn't expected to be taken literally, despite half hoping he would. However, when the captain heard that Iger held the pleasure craft competency certificate, he had latched onto the idea and dismissed all the other man's attempts to retract. He said it made no difference that Iger had never sailed outside Nautilus Bay in Reykjavik. By the way, it doesn't make a difference if you sailed outside Nautilus Bay in Reykjavik, does it? Do you judge a guy if he hasn't sailed outside, what is it, Nautilus Bay in Reykjavik? Does that make a difference to you? Anyway, that's a thriller. What you want to read in another voice? Sometimes you use different voices when you read. What do you like to do when you read a novel?
I read in the voice that I'm speaking, but I liked how you went into a much more literary, cinematic kind of, like, you could be an audiobook guy.
I know.
Totally.
I know.
You could totally
I could be an audiobook guy, or, you know, I could read porn to people, like, He steadied his hand and slowly brought it up to her earlobe.
We're reading Anais Nin next week.
By the way, this is but no, this is called self-help porn. Ready? He looked at her in his eyes. He took out his large member and he started to cry that he wasn't good enough. She called a lift and left.
No, she encouraged him. She encouraged him and told him to get back in the game.
Wouldn't that be funny if, like, we crumble as a society so much that our porn
is just encouragement?
No, that we crumble as a society so much that our porn is just people who can't get erections and start crying, and we never get to any sex in our porn, and like, God damn it. You're watching the porn going, I can't believe they didn't get to sex again. She took another Uber. She got out of there.
That's the porn.
That's the porn.
Just her leaving. Eddie, you can project some very dystopian shit when you want to, man. Really bad. I wish you hadn't even put that in my mind.
Which?
The girl could have taken an Uber the day that I didn't, you know, the first time.
Well, it didn't happen.
Thank God. Thank God.
So you want to read a little bit from
So I'm just gonna
Silence? What's the name of the title? The title is up there.
The Silence of the Sea, right. A thriller.
Right.
Thora Gunsomertir. Thora. All right.
Mm-hmm, 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 mm-hmm.
There's something weird about it. I read it online. Apparently you shouldn't even go on board. No doubt Bella was referring to the sensationalist article Thora had also skimmed over. The report, if you could call it that, had implied that the ship was under a curse, which had supposedly originated when one of the shipbuilders had an accident and bled everywhere. From then on, the calamities had multiplied during her construction. A welder had lost a hand. An engineer was severely burned. And other such incidents. Just before the yacht was launched, the owner of the shipyard had committed suicide. And as if that wasn't enough, on her maiden voyage, one of the passengers fell overboard and drowned. There were no sources cited, though, and Thora regarded the accounts as dubious, to say the least. Even if the stories contained a grain of truth, it was clear they had subsequently taken on a life of their own.
Okay, that's enough. That's too much. There's too much tension here. There's too much tension. I am sorry that we riveted you and we put you on edge. If you have Ativan, please take it. or Klonopin. Anyway, yeah, I don't know. That didn't go as well as I thought because we were reading poetry.
Yeah.
By Fonte, was it?
Yeah.
That
well,
first
it was
thing?
A novel.
A novel.
But it was more poetic.
It was more poetic, and I think maybe that works better.
Hey, you know, this is all part of the experiment.
All part of the experiment, but it's interesting when you take a novel out of context and you're just reading paragraphs and it's, you know.
Well, also when I randomly scroll to something about somebody having an accident, that's not a good...
Well, there's a lot of accidents in Silence of the Sea and they all take place on the ocean. All right, well, we have ads. It's time to hear from one of our sponsors. Let's see. I'll read the first one. And this is Facebags, and they've been a great sponsor. Facebags. I mean, I've had a couple of problems with them because they're not vegan, but here we go. Facebags. It's a new year. Show someone you care by giving them fine leather goods from Facebags. Facebags are uniquely designed leather purses, handbags, and luggage made from free-range and ethically maimed animal faces. Each one of the faces that make up a face bag luxury item is slow-peeled while being shown Matt Damon's 2017 classic Downsizing, providing Facebags' signature expression of terrified ennui. Thanks to modern medial face scraping technologies, face bags can guarantee each creature will watch the entirety of Matt Damon's theatrically released TED Talk, a 3-hour vacuum void of direction or value with a flaccid ending that falls uselessly to the floor, much like the face meats of the animals watching. Face bags want you to know that they care about their environmental impact and take every precaution towards being 100% eco-friendly. Unlike Paramount Pictures, who spent $68 million to create an unwatchable pile of DVD landfill. If you order a face bag before the end of the year, 43% of the proceeds go into a fund trying to figure out what the fuck downsizing was about. Boy, that was written by Matt Rasamoto.
Thank you, Matt.
Matt, one of our producers, our producer, and he apparently saw Downsizing.
He
that was such a bad movie, like universally. You know what I love reading, and this is just kind of my glee because Hollywood doesn't put me in much movies. And so I just have this Schadenfreude thing of reading bad reviews about movies, and Holmes and Watson Rotten Tomatoes, Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly made such a fucking dud. It's gotten 8%.
Okay, but we should read those. We should read some of those reviews. That would be fun. Sometimes reviews are great comedy.
Unbelievable.
You know?
Unbelievable. Rotten Tomatoes, whatever you think. I mean, sometimes I don't agree with them, but I mean, it was so universally panned, and rightfully so, right?
Well, I didn't see that. I didn't see Downsizing.
Holmes and Watson. Well, yeah.
Oh, please let me read some of those too.
Oh yeah, I'll let you read one. Read.
Tell me.
Just read the blurbs instead of the full reviews, and say who it's from.
If a comedy falls in the forest and nobody laughs, did it even exist? Joshua Rothkopf, Time Out critic. It's so painfully unfunny, we're not sure we can legally be called a comedy. David Fear, Rolling Stone.
And Rolling Stone usually loves everything.
Yeah. You want to read some of these?
No, you can read them.
Oh, my gosh. Holmes and Watson. Holmes and Watson is head-scratchingly unfunny, filled to busting with talent and potential that, say, in the hands of Artaman Animation, might flourish as it should. But that's a terrible review. As it is two people in a bar, three or four beers in, just telling jokes to each other that are even not funny. Wow. Nothing. Not one good review.
It's just. I like to find reviews that are like... let's see, puerile, imbecilic, and imbued with the kind of casual 1970s sitcom homophobia that reads all male friendships as somehow suspect. This slack-jawed, gross-out comedy represents the nadir of Conan Doyle adaptations. Stan and Ollie is a movie about a comedy duo that has seen better days, while Holmes and Watson merely stars one. Ouch! I want to see Stan and Ollie, though. That's supposed to be a good movie. But yeah, Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly should really be embarrassed doing that movie. Just shitty, shitty movie. All right, let's go to a couple of calls. Aaron, how far in are we?
48 minutes. Oh, wow.
48 minutes. It's gone by very quickly. Here we go. We had a few calls, so let's go to the next one. And here we go.
Eddie! It's Rich. I've called before. I'm up in the middle of nowhere in Maine. I can see Canada from my house. It looks like freedom. Anyway, I just wanted to wish you and Steve, yes, Steve has grown on me. Although I used to love envisioning you in your car, huddled down, ranting while children passed by. yes, I yearn for the early podcast, but Steve has been a great addition. And Happy New Year to both of you. And I sure miss you. You didn't stockpile podcasts like other podcasts do, and can't wait to hear from you. Ciao.
And what a great message. What a sweet message from Rich. And funny and shit. That was great.
I can see Canada, and it looks like freedom.
He's been listening since the early days.
Okay, here's another. Yeah, and here's another call.
Hi, it's Steve calling from Canada. It's about 2 hours left in the year 2018, and I'm calling because New Year's always reminds me of a very funny message that Eddie had written on Facebook. This would be going back about 2 or 3 years ago, and I'm not on Facebook anymore. So So around that time, Eddie wrote this. He said, remember, I'm paraphrasing it, right? But it's like, it began with the word, remember, your joy is built on the backs of other people's suffering. Happy New Year. So that's it. I really like your show, and I really like hearing Eddie. Something about Eddie, I could just listen to him all day. I don't know what it is, and I hope you continue to do well, stuff like that. I don't know. 2018 was a pretty normal year, right? Nothing really out of the ordinary really happened, you know, so, you know, everything's going to be all right. I'm running out of things to say. So rock on. Happy New Year.
That was a very, very nice message.
Thanks, Steve. Cool. Bye.
Okay, bye. Yeah, that was from Steve from Canada. And yeah, thank you, Steve. Awesome message. Let me see if we read this one or not. The third time, I hope you're both, since I've converted to my friends to your podcast. Let me see. I don't know. Tell me if we played this one or not.
Hi, Eddie and Steve. Stino calling from Portland. This is a third time caller here, and I hope you're both doing well. I just wanted to say, since I've last called in, I've converted two of my friends to your podcast, who are now big fans. So I'm really happy about that. I'm also calling because I've been thinking about what kinds of sponsors you guys could get for the podcast to start making more money. And I thought of two that could fit. So the first one would be a gas mask manufacturer. You know, since we're always talking about like climate breakdown and like the end of the world and stuff, I thought maybe you could get them to advertise on the podcast. And also I was thinking on that same note, water filter manufacturers. There's one called Berkey Water Filters that I've used that's really good. And I think they'd be perfect for, apocalypse preparations. So, and I also had, one question for you and Steve. I was wondering if you could each tell me the story of early on in your careers where you felt like you were at a turning point, where you felt like maybe you could go either way and continue on with your career in comedy or do something else. And what was it that made you choose comedy? Thanks, guys.
Ah, what a great message. Man, Gina from Portland.
Awesome.
So what about that? By the way, that's hilarious. Her ideas for sponsors for us, like gas masks.
She might make a good water filter producer. Maybe we should hook her up with Matt.
Yeah.
She
can
find us.
Thanks, Gina. And that's a good idea, too, that we should, you know, hook up with
real life.
The end of days. manufacturers out there, even though we're not survivalists, we are the furthest thing from it, right?
Yeah,
do you want to survive an apocalypse? Let me ask you that question. I do not. If there's a widespread apocalypse and our earth and our country becomes just massive slaughter, I just want to...
I'll be praying for a rapture at that point. I'll be praying for like...
What is a rapture exactly?
I think it's where your soul, you're just taken out. You're taken off the planet by
right.
God or something.
Right.
I don't know how
right.
I feel about that, mm-hmm. but I'd be praying for it in that situation.
Yeah.
No joke.
But now Gina also asked us both, what was a turning point in our careers? Can you think of a turning point where you could have gone either way, like just got out of this and, you know?
Yeah.
And for me, I'll go first. I'll tell you, that's an interesting question. I feel like I am always doubting. I mean, it's a paradox. It's like I feel like I'm always doubting whether or not I want to, you know, continue, because it's such a fluid thing, comedy. It's like there's part of me that doubts I can do this, and then there's part of me knows that I can do nothing else, and that's the part of me that keeps me in. Comedy. And it's like building up faith a little by little, you know? It's like just like I have built little blocks of faith or little building blocks of faith in being a comedian, actor, little by little, like little fucking baby steps. And I just never had a plan B. I'm trying to think if there was a time. You know, again, it's the type of thing, and this is kind of cliche, but it's the type of thing where if you put out to the universe that you want something, and if you have an act of faith and you go and do your set somewhere instead of staying at home and smoking a joint, the universe comes, you know, a step to you as well. And, you know, you're given, like, on some of my most down days, you know, I'll have someone recognize me and go, "Hey, Eddie, I love your comedy." And that's such a God shot. What about you? What is so basically my answer is I kind of deal with that every day, like what I want to do, and have to reaffirm a faith every day into doing.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing that as sensitive as you are, that you have been able to deal with that, because it's kind of like a tough, thick skin. Comedy stand-up is a tough, thick skin. The people who hang around normally are tough, thick skin, even though on the inside we're real soft, but we get this thick skin because of the bombing. And I mean, how do you... You know what I'm saying? For me, it was, yeah. I could think of three or four different times. And I just want to think of probably the most interesting, entertaining time was probably when I was living on a guy's couch and in and out of my car and my buddy Dave Carter's couch. And I had a part-time job and I was 29. I think I was 29. And I remember I went to this guy who was a little older and he was a musician. And he seemed to like I looked up to him. He seemed to kind of have it all together. And I said, "Dude, this is not working out. Nobody likes, I mean, this isn't going anywhere, you know, and people aren't letting me do this." And I could see I'm getting funnier, but I just don't know. You know, I'm 29. And he goes, "You got to go strong till 30. He goes, "You got to give it till 30. You got to go strong till 30. And I don't even know if he was right, but the way he was like, the way he kind of Donald Trumped that advice on me, the way he kind of was confident about that advice, maybe I needed to hear that. Like, I just needed to hear, don't quit. I just needed somebody I respected to tell me, don't quit.
Right.
And then the next year I met Cat Williams.
Oh, wow.
So I also got a camper. I had bought a camper. So I scraped together the money from my my little part-time job, and I bought a camper. And I found a place to park it, and I was living in it, and then I met Cat Williams. And so, yeah. But who knows if I hadn't met him.
Right. I feel like, you know, the universe is always there to give us a little push. Tell me if we listened to this message before. So thank you, Gina, for that great message.
Hi, guys. It is Dara, a long time no calls.
Have we heard this?
I was inspired to call and leave in. What am I saying? I was calling to encourage Steve because he was recently rejected by a woman, and I just wanted to say that it happens to all of us. And in fact, it reminded me of one of my lamer moments. I was dating a guy and I thought everything was good, and one day he said, "I think you should stop calling me." And I didn't get that he was dumping me. I just really thought he didn't want me to call him. But so I said, "Well, how will we set up dates?" And anyway, we dated for another month, and then he dumped me then. But I just wanted to say it happens to everybody. Hang in there, keep your sense of humor. And that's it. And keep reading Bukowski, because he had a lot of shit figured out. Okay? Love you guys. Happy holidays. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Dara.
Dara, thank you. And that was to you, basically. Yeah. Like, when you had your heart broken recently, you know, it's so true that it happens to everybody. That's
gives
for
you
sure.
PTSD. That's definitely a PTSD thing.
When you get...
Yeah.
Well, that's abandonment, right?
Big time.
That's like, you're not good enough.
Yeah.
I'm leaving you. Yeah, yeah. It triggers all kinds of shit.
Yeah, dude. Bad. That was bad.
But look at you. Good. You're here to tell the tale of having, you know, sexual relations in Florida, in the panhandle. Well, that was all the messages, and I just want to thank everybody.
Thanks, yeah. Thanks, Dara. And Dara is really a beautiful woman. She's my friend on Facebook. And so that she went
through
that. Yeah, well, I found her. She found me. I don't know what.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. So we have one more. We have a couple of ads, and then we're going to wrap it up. Thanks, everybody. This is our re-entry podcast, and luckily it wasn't as bad as Apollo 13.
Bless you.
Thanks.
Right on time.
I always sneeze in twos or threes. I never just sneeze once. And that's not to brag that I have that kind of lifestyle. I think you will read this one.
Get your product noticed, ladies and gentlemen, by having a professional website on a domain you own using tools that make sense. A lot of companies out there promise the world when it comes to building professional websites, but only Triangle Space truly delivers. Try a free consultation by going to the Triangle Space website by typing in the triangle symbol, triangle, into the address bar followed by /inverse/.52.yahoo.com. That's right, Triangle Space is your one-stop resource to having a killer website up and running in just moments. Listen to these happy reviews. Tallulah of May of Nebraska says, I Googled Triangle Space and my computer was immediately filled with so many viruses, the Geek Squad had to set my computer on fire. I only wanted to upload my grandson's baby pictures. Luke Duger of Iowa told us, I figured out how to get to the website, but my computer CD drive then began coughing up blood. Sandy Schultz in New Jersey lets us know, Triangle Space is about exactly what you'd expect. Let Triangle Space host your business website today. Remember, triangle followed by /inverse/.52.yahoo.com. Thanks, Triangle Space.
Triangle Space, a new sponsor, I believe. Thank you so much. And I think the people who were saying how great it was, like Sandy Schultz of New Jersey said, Triangle Space is about what you'd expect, is a great recommendation, and that's the kind of product we want. And Luke Duger of Iowa, great Duger family out of Iowa, right? He said, I figured out how to find the website, but my computer CD drive began coughing up blood.
Where can you go to get a computer to cough up blood?
These are testimonials.
Exactly.
And now we want to finish up with... sorry, folks. This is a professional podcast. I had this shit. But basically, it's rate us on iTunes, okay? Go to iTunes, rate Pep Talks. You know, give us a nice rating or, you know, just tell people about this podcast. Go on iTunes and rate Pep Talks. Rate it with your heart. Rate it with your soul. I can't find the copy to read about this.
If you don't like Pep Talks, lie to us.
Lie to us. We definitely want to. But anyway, I want to thank Matt Rasamoto, Aaron, our engineer, ATC Comedy. Please listen to Pep Talks. We're live on YouTube Wednesdays at 4:30 Pacific time. And we also release the podcast, just audio on SoundCloud, the next day. And please.
You got some shows to promote, right?
Oh, my God. I should have done
major,
this up top.
Huge.
I should have done this up top.
You're just so selfless that you just forget about all
I just care about you. And I should. I am taping a new special. I am taping an hour-long special here in Los Angeles at the Hayworth Theater, Dynasty Typewriter. It's also known as, and it's February 16th. The taping of my new special. The shows are at 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock. You can find this online. 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock. Get tickets. The link is in my bio on Instagram, Eddie Pep at Eddie Pep. I post it on Twitter and Facebook. So February 16th, I'm taping a new hour, 8 p.m. and 10 p.m. Steve.
Yeah, and to follow that up, I'm at the Wine Cave in Glendale at 8:30 on January 17th. I'll be at the Wine Cave in Glendale.
What I like about that, too, is you don't have an address.
I could have said that. I could have done mine before yours. But no, God had other plans.
That was hilarious. I've got a new special. It's going on all over the globe. It's got, you know, and then, like, I'm at the Wine Cave in Shitville.
I'm so thankful for that booking. I forgot about that booking.
And thanks, everybody, for your calls. And thanks to our sponsors and everybody here at ATC Comedy. And we'll see you next week. Bye, everybody.